What's going on, guys? Bob Buskirk here at Think Computers, and it is our weekly tech podcast, episode 24, and we just sit down, talk about tech, talk about what's going on in the previous week, what we reviewed, all of that fun stuff. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and you happen to purchase something, that helps us out, that keeps this podcast going, so we would appreciate it if you did that. With me, as always, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up?
You don't sound very happy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why are you not happy?
I'm kind of really tired. I got up at like 5 o'clock this morning.
Why would you do such a thing?
That's like 3 hours of sleep for me. So.
Wow.
My wife went to Chicago, so I had to take her to the train station.
Oh, what is she going there for?
To go shopping.
Oh, yeah. You do live in Michigan when there's like nothing. Like, you live in the middle of nowhere where there's, like, nothing.
It's not that there's nothing.
But when your wife has to go somewhere, like, has to take a train to go shopping, there's nothing where you live.
Right when I said take the train, I'm like, Bob's going to make fun of me.
Yes.
No, the train is just easier, though.
Yeah. I've never actually been on a train. Like a real train, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. Have you? I mean, I assume you have.
Because I live in the country?
I mean, I don't know. A lot of people around here, they'll take the train down to, like, D.C., or they'll take the train up to New York, but I just have never done that.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Like, it's the same thing, though. I mean, like, for shopping-wise, like, we have all the stores, but they don't have all the same stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And the really high-end stuff. Same as if you went to, like, New York.
It would be nice. Like, a nice week, you know, it is Friday, like, a nice little weekend trip, take the train, kind of chill. That'd be cool.
Yeah, good food, hang out.
All that stuff. So...
So I'm tired, yeah.
So you're very tired.
Kill the world.
We will get into our reviews this week, and we'll start off with a graphics card. I took a look at the MSI R9380 Gaming 4G graphics card. So this is MSI's gaming version of the R9380. It's the 4G or 4GB version. So they do offer a 2GB and a 4GB. This is the 4GB. Version, which is pretty decent card. I've really liked over the past couple years that MSI has really really put their, like, all of their cards look the same. I know a lot of people don't like this, but I kind of like it. Like, even if you get a low end card, it's still gonna look awesome. It still has the backplate on it.
You know you're gonna get a good cooler then, because it's based on the same design for the high end card.
Yeah, it's based on the same design. It's a good looking card. Obviously, the R9380 is a rebrand, you know what I mean? So it's not something that is necessarily new, I would say.
Yeah.
Well,
as far as architecture goes.
Yeah, as far as architecture goes or anything like that. But it's a good all-around card. I believe this sells for... I have to look it up. this sells for around $239. So it's right in that mid-range category. You know, and like I said, MSI has done a really great job on the cooler. It not only cools well, but again, they have their zero frozer design, which that means is that the fans will actually turn off during low gaming, or, you know, obviously during idle, so you don't have to deal with any noise. And even when the fans do turn on, they're not that loud at all.
That's the thing now.
Yeah. So, and since this is based off of the Tonga, or rebrand of Tonga, you know, you do have support for Mantle, the new Vulkan API, and you have FreeSync as well as the new Super Virtual Resolution from AMD, so you have all that stuff. And fully compatible with Windows 10, which just came out, so you don't have to worry about that as well. Just a good overall card. Like the performance, not much really bad I can say about it. It's kind of coming, I think, with graphics cards, especially the big brands like MSI and Asus and Gigabyte, we're coming to a point now where, like, they have it set. Like, MSI has their gaming series and their Lightning series, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, they have it set. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have this cooler. Every card's going to have this feature. I really like that. All the way up the product stack, you know what you're getting, and you're getting quality from low to high. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Just because you're buying an entry-level card doesn't mean you want a crappy product.
Yeah, and it's nice to have this exact same cooler being used on the entry-level as the high-end. And again, this is close to... It's not an entry-level card. It's a mid-range card, but it's nice to have the backplate. Yeah. It's nice to have all that stuff that you would get on a high-end card on this type of card as well.
for sure.
Yeah, so definitely.
You know, it's a decent performance. It's not amazing.
Yeah, it's not amazing. It's not made to be. No. You know, in the $200, $250 range, this is a good card to get. Again, and everything that MSI has done to the card, you know, as far as the cooling and everything else, adding the 4 gigabytes, you know, all that kind of stuff, it works really well. I didn't have a really any really problem with it at all.
So, nice. Like so the Strix though, the 970 Strix that you reviewed, that beats it. Yes. Would you pay extra and buy the Strix?
Yes.
Okay.
I would. But it is more expensive.
Right. So, but only slightly more so.
Yeah, it's slightly more expensive. I did like the Strix card better. You know, and that's not any fault of MSI either.
No.
It's purely
that's what the card is.
Yeah, it's purely AMD on that front. Yeah.
All
right. So, but like I said, MSI also has a 970 gaming
right.
card as
it's
well.
True.
With the same cooler. Yeah, with the exact same cooler. It's very hard to pick cards these days because everybody's just doing them so well. Like I said, everybody has their set cards now. Asus has their Strix, and then if you go up, they have their ROG series. And MSI, you know, all of their gaming cards now. They just started their crate line, and they have their really high end Lightning cards. You know, it's hard to pick cards these days because you know these companies are getting so competitive, and it's just they do their cards really well. Like it's hard to get a card to review these days and it be bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's so much competition, and everything is done really well.
Yeah, it's not going to be a matter of like. What the manufacturer has done with it. It's just a matter of what the card
and
is.
And one thing about the MSI cards now, all of their gaming cards come with either a 3-month, 6-month, or 1-year license to XSplit as well. That's cool. A value add-on, especially a lot of people are doing streaming these days. So, yeah, definitely definitely
so
value
if
add.
If you're good and you're not like me, that's definitely worth
it. Or you just want to stream. I mean, XSplit... Yeah. I think a 3-month license is like $24 or something.
That's pretty good value.
So with this card, you get a 6-month license. So yeah, I mean, it's like an extra $40 right there.
Yeah.
You know, that you can activate at any time. So they've done that with all of their gaming products, which is actually really cool.
So it'd be cool just to like get that and then also a free game on some of the higher end cards.
That'd
be really, that's really good value.
Yeah, so you get a good value out of it. With MSI, they've done that. So
I like that. I mean, like you said, it's kind of a level playing field as far as like performance and what they can do with the cooling. So now we're getting more value add-ons on the side. That's nice.
Yeah, it's like it's good to see them go that way. I think they have to though to be able to stay competitive with everybody else. You know,
yeah, I would agree. Yep.
So, yep, definitely a good card. Definitely check it out. As I said, it is $239 online, which is not bad at all.
It's a good entry level.
Yes.
Mid-level price.
Yeah.
To me, that's like that's what
for
I
us. That's like entry level.
Yeah, seriously.
But like for,
sorry.
So like it's the entry level is like 100 to 150. So this is
we've been in this too long. We're kind of jaded now.
Yes, very much so. So we'll move on from that. And this week was the Skylake launch.
Ooh.
Yay!
We need like sounds to play in the
yes,
background.
Yes, we need like fireworks and all of that. So. Intel launched their two high-end Skylake processors, the i7-6700K and the i5-6600K. And we reviewed the i7-6700K, and it's pretty awesome. So the biggest thing that you're going to see with Skylake, it's not as much on the processor side. On the processor side of things, you're going to get better performance at a lower clock speed, and you're going to get less power draw than before. That's the big improvement on the processor side of things.
Yeah.
The other big improvement, of course, is the Z170 chipset. With that, you're going to see 40% more high-speed I/O ports. What that means is you're going to see a lot more... M.2 slots, a lot more USB 3.1, which uses higher bandwidth. You're going to see all of that stuff on the new Z170 motherboards. So
speeding up the rest of your system.
Yeah, so you have a lot more options, and you're going to see, you know, the standard thing you're going to see on a lot of motherboards is multiple M.2 slots, obviously USB 3.1 as well. So that is kind of the big step forward. Obviously, with a new architecture and all of that, you're not going to see this massive jump in performance, right? From previous generations, you're going to see around a 10% performance from Haswell to this, which is
pretty standard.
Which isn't standard, but again, you're achieving that performance at a lower clock speed and lower power draw.
You know, I think that's something that's being missed a lot in a lot of comparisons, because they're like, oh, the 4790Ks, it's actually faster sometimes, this and that. But yeah, they're not considering that it's like up to 0.4 gigahertz faster.
Yeah, so what you have to think about is, in our tests, the 4790K beat it in, I think, two of our total tests. Everything else, the 6700K beat it. And not only that, is that you have to think that the 4790K boosts up to 4.4, and the 6700K boosts only to 4.2. So at 4.2 compared to 4.4, the 6700K is beating it in almost everything.
Yeah. Along with lower power consumption, which should result in higher overclocking.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the overclocking is a lot more stable.
Was it easier?
It's extremely easy. It's just like Haswell, really. There's a lot more fine tuning that you can do, but I didn't have time to get into it because I only had the chip for like literally a week.
Couldn't mess around with all the VCL settings.
To get this review done, plus two motherboards, which we'll talk about in just a second, to get all that done, I just didn't have a lot of time to really go in and dive into overclocking. I think I'm going to go back and do a full article on Skylake overclocking, because there's a lot more. You have a fully unlocked base clock multiplier, so BCLK, that you can totally do in 1 megahertz increases, right? Yeah. So before, only on certain boards that was allowed. Like, I think Asus was one of the only boards that actually allowed you to do that. But now on every board, every manufacturer, it's built in. So you can do that in 1 megahertz increases, which is actually pretty cool.
A lot of people don't understand what that does for you. A lot of times a chip likes one setting or another. So being able to play with that actually can allow you to get better clocks.
Yeah, and another thing is that, you know, before on the other processors, we had all the ring ratios. So you had 100, you had 125, and you had 166. Now you have the whole option to do pretty much whatever you want. I was able to get it from 4 gigahertz up to 4.7. Completely stable, no issues whatsoever. And if we compare that to the 4790, which was at 4.6, which isn't a massive increase, but again, I didn't have a whole lot of time to really play with it.
And you're on an H80i?
I'm on
GT?
I'm on a Thermaltake Water 3.0 Extreme, which is 240 millimeter.
Okay.
But the thing is that, again, I didn't have a whole lot of time. And in all honesty, I think I could have done it. That was at 1.4 volts on the CPU.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could have got it at 1.35. I just didn't have a lot of time to really go in and, you know, mess around with everything.
And I think I've seen it up to 1.5 as well.
Yeah, you can get – it doesn't get as hot as Haswell.
Which is good,
especially for overclocking. So,
which is probably the power consumption.
Yeah, and the thing is like with this also, you're getting DDR4.
Yeah.
On most boards, it does support DDR3 as well, but almost all of the higher end boards will come with DDR4 slots.
If you're really buying this, don't buy DDR3.
Yeah. So the biggest question a lot of people have asked is, should I upgrade to this? And I say that if you're on anything before Haswell, for sure. This is going to give you everything that you're going to want. There's a wide variety of choices when it comes to motherboards as well. The only thing that's really going to set you back is, of course, DDR4, which isn't the cheapest right now, but it is going to go down in price.
And DDR3 isn't exactly cheap either.
Yeah, so that is the only issue. But yeah, if you do have Haswell and you want to upgrade, the reason to upgrade would be to get those, you know, to get USB 3.1,
yeah,
to get more M.2 slots, all that kind of stuff that you would want, or you just want a new motherboard.
And DDR4, of course.
So
I think the DDR4 combined with motherboard, you know, improvements is pretty significant.
Yeah, and again, this is going to perform better than pretty much anything that's out there in the mainstream.
A big part of it too is, are you just gaming, or is there anything else you want to do with it?
Yeah, and like you can do like video encoding and everything like that, they've really, if you're using solely the processor, they've improved their quick sync video, which helps you encode better and all that kind of stuff. They do a really good job on all of that. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm still buying one.
Good processor. One thing, we're not sure when it will be on sale because
As far as the 6700K goes.
Yeah, the i5 is on sale now.
And sold out.
Yeah, and sold out, obviously. We haven't seen the i7 go on sale yet. The prices, the i7 is $350, the i5 is $243. But we haven't seen the i7 on sale, and I'm waiting to hear back from Intel of when it will be available. We do know that it is available in custom systems, so like iBuyPower, CyberPower, all of those guys have their processors. But waiting for it to come to retail, it should be in the next couple days because the motherboards are available.
Yeah, which means I have to sit on my phone checking over and over.
Yeah,
refresh.
Derek is looking to get a processor, and he's been asking me every day when they're going to be available, and I am not sure. They should be.
Oh, come on. Every day. I haven't been that pathetic.
I mean, you just, yeah.
We talked about it a bit yesterday.
Yeah. So
quite a bit.
I would say by next week they should be available. They will probably sell out very, very quickly, I feel.
Yeah, that's why I'm weird on it, because I think it'll be within an hour.
Yeah.
Two.
Depends on the allocations and who gets what,
yeah,
obviously.
What site you're looking at, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm just, my biggest concern right now is, well, is Newegg going to go, or I guess Amazon either, is it going to be released on Pacific time or Eastern time, you know, because...
Yeah, like I said, as soon as I hear back from Intel, I will let you know.
Is it midnight? Is it 3 in the morning? I'm just not sure.
Is that why you didn't get that much sleep?
No. I was just up.
Yeah.
Although I did check it a few times.
So yeah, good processor, good to see a new architecture. And there's a lot of cool stuff, which we're going to talk about as we get into the motherboards, which I reviewed two Z170 motherboards. We'll start out with Asus. I reviewed their entry-level Z170A. And even though this is entry-level, there's still a lot of really great features that they've added on with this board. One of the coolest features, which I think a lot of people overlook on this board, which was kind of surprised me because I didn't hear anything about it. We saw a lot of leaks on the CPU installation tool and all this other stuff. But they have a dedicated header for AIOs.
Right.
So instead of typically, if you get an AIO, you plug the pump into your CPU fan header and you really don't get much control over it.
No.
Because
that's generally set to just run.
Yeah, set to just run. So on all of their Z170 boards, they have a dedicated AIO pump header. And what that allows you to do is you can actually control the power going to the pump. You can increase the pump speed all within the BIOS. So with a lot of products, with a lot of AIOs, you have software that's able to do that. But if it doesn't have software, the software's not working or whatever, you can actually control it all through the BIOS. Really that's awesome. Yeah. I think that's one of the coolest features. Asus is always one to add things or one to innovate first.
Yeah.
And then everybody usually copies Asus. We've seen it.
Yeah.
And this is something that's really cool. AIOs are extremely, extremely popular these days.
Yeah.
So having that ability within the BIOS, you don't have to worry about software. It can be done. You can set your power SKUs and all that kind of stuff that you can do on it. Just really, really cool.
Kind of levels the playing field for AIOs in a way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now they all have software.
Yeah, so you can kind of go ahead and set it up yourself. You don't have to worry about software or any of that stuff. It will run how you want it. So I kind of like that a lot. So besides that, again, this is their entry-level board. It has everything that you would want on a Z170 board. You do have that M.2 slot. You have USB 3.1. You have a Type-C port and a Type-A port. Just a great overall board. It did pretty well. You know, this is, I think it's $165, which isn't that expensive.
No, that's definitely entry level pricing.
Yeah, Asus has kind of revamped their BIOS. Their BIOS is in Z97 was my favorite BIOS. Just very easy to navigate. Tons of options. Now they've added a lot more in this BIOS. It has the same layout, which I do like. So you're not kind of like, oh, what is this new thing?
Yeah, that's good.
It works really well. Didn't have any issue with the BIOS. Of course, the motherboard comes with AI Suite 3 software, which again, is also my favorite motherboard companion software. Everything's unified in one application, which I like. And you can go ahead and go in there and do everything pretty much that you can do in the BIOS, you can do in AI Suite 3. And there's a ton of other cool things. They added a couple new pieces of software in AI Suite 3. They added like a PC cleaner software. So when you're trying to like clean up junk files on Windows, you have to like clean up all your internet stuff in, you know, in your browser. Yeah. You have to do it all. It's all unified in one application, so you can
just goes through and hits it all.
Yeah, it hits everything, which is actually kind of nice.
It's kind of like CCleaner.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. You know, it does all of that for you. And then they have this new thing called Mobo Connect, and what that does is that it allows you, say you have like an Android tablet, you can actually sync it with your motherboard, and you can use your keyboard and mouse on the Android tablet.
Really?
Which is kind of nice. It helps you be a little bit more productive. If you're, you know, using
your tablet. So you can control your tablet through your PC mouse and keyboard.
Yes.
Okay, and I was picturing it vice versa.
And I think you can do. I'm pretty sure you can do it vice versa.
Okay.
But
so you can be like on the couch controlling your desktop.
Yeah, but the thing is that I don't have an Android device, so I couldn't, so obviously I couldn't test it. Okay. But from what I understand, it works both ways, and I know that you can.
We're not all as privileged, you know. It's okay, Bob. Someday maybe.
But I know you can also stream music from your mobile device to your PC.
That's cool.
So that's just another piece of software that they've added. And again, this all comes on this very entry-level board, which is nice. All of these features are on this entry-level board, which I think Asus... this board is a very hard one to design, just because it is entry-level. It's the lowest-cost board they have, and they have to pick what features they have and what they don't have.
Yeah, and try to guess what everyone else is going to include.
Yeah, and this has instant overclocking of, you know, if you're just new to, you know, build your first PC and everything. They have their 5-way optimization, which actually optimizes on 5 different points how to overclock your system. Works really well. It's all software-based, too, so you don't have to really worry about anything. Nice. You know, you install AI Suite 3, you run 5-way optimization, and you're instantly overclocked, which is awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, so very, very
good. Looks good, too.
Yeah, it's good-looking board. Again, for entry-level... on the Z170, awesome board, and it's great to see these new features. Again, the AIO header and the CPU installation tool on here, just good stuff. So,
you know, the biggest winners from Skylake Launch, I think, is first time PC builders that have a decent budget.
Yes, there's a lot of options.
This is an awesome technology to start with.
Yes, and all of the companies have made it very easy. All of the new BIOSes now, pretty much everyone that I've encountered, when you go into the BIOS, you're like in an easy mode, so you don't have to dive deep into the BIOS to maybe like change your XMP profile or set your boot device priority. It's all in this like easy mode page. You can kind of do everything
like a 3D opening screen.
Yeah, it's just like a page that has like all of these settings that you would actually want to change. You know, for a first time builder, you know, you get new memory, you want to set your XMP profile.
Okay,
you definitely want to set your boot device priority. And there's a couple other options that are in there that you can set without actually having to go into the BIOS, really.
Or going anywhere.
Yeah. All of the new BIOSes have that, like have like an easy mode or a start page, something like that. So it's just good. It's good for first time builders. And again, the companion software that comes with these motherboards are also great. So you can actually do all your BIOS optimizations in Windows. You don't have to go into the BIOS.
Awesome.
So that is the Z170A, and we'll go on to a board
There were a couple things missing that I saw in your conclusion that I thought were kind of significant. You don't have any debug LEDs.
Oh, yeah, so again,
and you don't have clear CMOS button.
Yeah, so and what I've actually noticed that on a couple of these Z170 boards is like the clear thing. For me, because I do overclocking and things like that, the clear CMOS button is a big issue.
I don't get why you wouldn't put one on.
There's a jumper, which is very old school. But yeah, so this is an entry-level board, so you're not going to get everything. I do like to see it. The thing with Asus is they do have debug LEDs. So what that means is that if your computer is halting at a certain point, the LED around where it's halting, like if it's your graphics card, there's an LED there. If
you know what? I've used one, and that's incredibly useful.
Yeah, but the actual postcode display, there's not one on this board. I would have liked to have seen it, but there isn't one.
That I can let go of the LED, because, I mean, I guess that's a little more, but, like, how expensive was a button or a switch to reset the CMOS? Like,
yeah,
seriously.
But again, they have to try to get everything in at a cost, and that's an extra cost. You know, I'll let it go because of the price of the board.
Yeah.
At 165, and the thing is, you're getting a lot on this board for that price.
I do agree.
And a lot of people won't, I mean, we'll never reset their, you know, we'll never have to do it. It is a jumper.
But if they ever need to, like, it locks up. That's, like, the jumper thing, when you don't know what you're doing with a PC, is, like, what do I do?
I have to put this thing on these two pins, and...
I'm going to break it. I know I'm going to break it.
Yeah, so it's... That's one downside of the board. That's why I didn't give it a perfect 10 out of 10. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
But still a good board. But if you want a clear CMOS button, you're not going to get it on this board.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
cool.
We'll move on to the second board, which was from MSI. And it's one of their gaming boards. It's their Z170A Gaming M5. And this sort of sits in the... kind of mid-range of their gaming line. So their gaming line, I think, is four or five boards. So it goes the M3, which is the lower end, and then it goes the Gaming G45, which is a really weird name.
And then it goes, five.
And then it goes to their Gaming M5, Gaming M7, and then they have a Gaming M9 ACK board, which is their higher end. So this is the mid-range board.
Yeah.
In that line. So with a gaming board, you're going to want a couple things. You're going to want support for dual graphics cards, which you have here. And MSI has done a really cool thing, which we've seen on a couple different manufacturers, is they reinforced their PCI Express slots with metal, which is actually cool. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
But also, if you're having big cards in there, it gives more support for the PCI Express slot.
Thought of that, but I imagine that that is something that could happen.
Yeah, so it gives you more stability and all of that, and it just looks really great. Also with gaming, you want gaming-grade networking. If you lag, you die.
Yeah.
And this has Killer's new E2400 gaming networking, which works great. And we tested networking against the Asus board, and this kind of blew it out of the water, so that's a testament to that. It has pretty good audio. It has their, I can't think of it now.
Audio Boost 3?
Yeah, Audio Boost 3, which is based on the Nehemic audio enhancer.
I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you, because when I was trying to read that myself, it was like, what?
I was doing the overview video of this that we did, and I kept on messing up at that point, because it's just hard to say. But Nehemic Audio Enhancer, it has its own software that you can kind of go in and set up, just like you would get with any, say, Creative or something like that.
Yeah.
How
do you feel about it compared to Creative?
It's on par, not as good. The thing is that the onboard Creative solutions, like the Core 3D and all of that I have used, are higher end.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like...
Hard to compare.
Yeah, it's hard to compare. The thing about the Creative stuff is it is more expensive and it usually is better.
Yeah.
So this is like, we want a dedicated audio, but this is our mid-range board, so we're not going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it
is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. It works really well. It has software, so you can configure everything,
Good.
Yeah, so
it didn't sound terrible to you. It didn't break down. It didn't.
Yeah. No, it was good overall. Okay. All of the audio connections are gold-plated and all that kind of stuff, too.
Do you remember when, those things were not standard?
Yes.
Everybody that's new to this has no idea what we suffered through.
Yes, and one thing that I didn't get to see on this board, which is actually kind of cool, is that right by the DDR4 slots is this sort of, circuitry design in red.
Yeah.
But if your XMP profile is turned on, that lights up.
But no way.
The memory that I have is just a simple DDR4 kit that doesn't have an XMP profile.
Oh.
So it didn't get to light up.
What?
So I kind of didn't get to see that. I was kind of sad.
I bet that there's a hack you could do to make it turn on, though.
It might have been something in the BIOS. Yeah. I did, again, because of I had this board for 4 days, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't really get to go in and do as much as I wanted to on both of these reviews.
Hard to learn the entire board in 4 days.
Yes. But it's a good board from MSI. It's a good gaming board. They have a lot of cool gaming boards coming, which I can't talk about. I assume I can talk about them, but they have for the entire segment. So this is their gaming enthusiast segment, which is their high-end segment. They have a performance gaming segment and then an arsenal gaming segment, and they're going to have boards in each one of those segments, which is cool. So if you're the way they have it, in the review, we actually have a breakdown of the segments. And so enthusiast gaming is like high-end FPS. They mention Witcher 3, that type of high-end gaming. And then performance gaming is sort of like League of Legends or something like that. Yeah. And then arsenal gaming, which is like arcade games. They have Goat Simulator as their, as their comparison for that. So they're going to have boards in each one of these segments, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
So pretty much they're going to have everything for everyone. But this board's actually pretty cool, too. It does have the dual M.2 slots, and those are 32 gigabit a second slots.
The M.2 thing, I feel like, why don't I have one right now?
Yeah, what's cool, about this is that you have two slots. So you really don't even have to use your SATA ports, really.
Yeah.
You could have one for your OS and then one for your games.
Exactly. And, like, why are we not using that?
Yeah, and you can get M.2s in very high capacities now. So,
It's just, it's such a clean install with that,
Yeah, completely. And this board does have USB 3.1 as well, a Type A port and a Type C port. So, good board.
This does have LED debug.
Yes, this does have the debug LED post screen. One thing is weird is it was green instead of red. I think if it was the red, it would match the board. But one also cool thing about the debug LED is that once it goes through post and once you get into Windows, it actually displays your temperature reading in real time.
Yeah, I read that. That's really cool.
Yeah, so we've seen that on a couple boards.
CPU temperature?
Yeah, CPU temperature.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you can change that in the BIOS either. I didn't have a whole lot of time to go through. It doesn't have a clear CMOS button either.
No.
Which is kind of surprising.
I would have thought this one would have for sure.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I didn't see it on the board.
I mean, the LEDs are much harder and more expensive.
Yeah. So I didn't see that either. But again, and this board also, just like we talked about with MSI gaming products on the graphics card, on the motherboard side, this one comes with a year free of XSplit GameCast.
A full year.
I believe. I'm almost positive.
That's cool.
This
board, how much did you say this was?
$189.
And that's not that expensive.
Yeah. So, 1 year XSplit GameCaster. So, again, MSI has really done a thing, especially in their gaming series. Like, this is for you guys. This is for you gamers. And even if you're not a good gamer, I know so many people that just want to cast. And XSplit makes that possible. So you can you get a free year. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But
you can try it without even paying for it.
Yeah, and they also have other cool gaming applications that come with this. They have a gaming app that's full of stuff. The gaming app also allows you to instantly overclock your system. It allows you, there's a one-click button to speed all your fans up instantly.
Really?
Yeah, you just hit it, and it just, every fan goes 100 to full speed, so if you're about the game, you can kind of just hit that.
Yeah.
It has a gaming OSD, it's a gaming on-screen display, so you can actually have an overlay while you're playing a game of, like, your CPU temperature or your CPU speed or whatever it may be. There's a bunch of different options that you can have on your OSD. It has a keyboard and mouse application that you can set hotkeys, sort of like the custom software you get with a gaming mouse, but you don't even need to have a gaming mouse now to have that. You can set it all up within their software too. Really nice. Cool. So, yeah, just I like that MSI, again, is doing these value add-ons, not only with XSplit, but with the software that they're building, because they know this is a board for gamers, and you're gonna get those gaming applications, which I like.
Yeah, it's good to bring them into your environment and give them everything they need in one spot.
Yeah,
I really think this might be MSI's year, to really come back.
Yeah, they've really done, again, just like with the graphics cards, the motherboard market is so competitive now. It's like you can't just put out a basic board. Everybody's going to give you shit about
yeah.
it. So you have to really try hard. You have to do the value add-ons. You have to have everything that, you know, a certain whatever you're building the board for, whatever those people want, you have to put on the board. And yep. I think it's great. It's great for us, obviously.
Yeah.
Because there's so much competition that just brings more innovation and cool things and all of that. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Another good board. I also gave this one a 9 out of 10.
Sweet.
So yeah.
It's good to see two awesome boards right at launch.
Yes. So that was it for the reviews this week. So we will move on to Case Mod Friday. And that is a section on the site where we cover a new build or a new mod that has been completed in the community. Just a great way to show off what you can do. And last week we had a completely scratch build, which was insane, which was crazy. And this week I decided to go with something that's more basic. Really can show you what you can do if you're a beginner, if you're doing a first type mod. It is a mod, but I would say it's closer to a build than anything.
This is like pretty much, it's very little modding. It's like as far as you can go, as far as like the best cooling, the best of everything for your case, right?
Yeah, so
without doing custom.
Yeah, so what this project is called Simply Green. It's a water-cooled build inside of a Corsair Obsidian 750D, which is a great case.
Yeah.
But he did do some modding stuff. Obviously, he did all of his cables. He did the acrylic tubing.
Rigid tubing.
He polished the blocks on his cards, which has been a big thing. Actually, it was probably...
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like the what did they call that?
The clear...
he made it clear, but...
Yeah.
Frost.
Yeah, the Frost.
The frosted acrylic on the black covers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people have done that, figured out that polishing thing, and that's one of the standard mods.
He painted some stuff. I don't know, like, if you can see in the main photo, he painted all of the logos and everything on the power supply to the green to match.
Okay.
So yeah, this build is a black case, and then all the liquid cooling and all the accents are neon green, which I love.
Yeah.
It's a solid build for some, like, this guy isn't a known modder, really, you know, that big of a modder. It's just a solid all-around build.
This is something that most anybody could do with the time and patience.
Yes.
This is like a goal, I guess you could have.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to feature it, because, you know, sometimes we feature these insane builds where you're like, I could never do that, you know. And this really shows you that, you know, most of the stuff, if you took the time, you could really do. And I think that's what's great about modding, is it doesn't have to be this insane thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can just be this.
This is just wanting something really nice.
Yeah, and like I said, you can learn about water cooling. You know, you can do that. You can learn about making rigid tubing, which isn't that hard, I don't think.
No.
You know, you can learn about how to paint certain parts and do all that yourself. Obviously, taking the stock coolers off of your graphics cards and installing water blocks and all that kind of stuff is not overly hard. It might seem a little daunting when you're first getting into computers and PC hardware, but after you do it, maybe one, you know, even taking a cooler off of a graphics card is not all that hard.
No.
At all. So this is just shows you what you can do as a basic user. And that's why I wanted to feature it, is because this really just kind of shows you, you know, what you can do, really.
Yeah. It's just, this is like some real inspiration for something you can achieve.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. Again, we have a lot of mods all the way from, again, like this more basic to extremely insane on our Case Mod Friday section. You can go on the site and you can actually submit your case as well. So if you do have a build and you want to submit it, we have it's on the top of the site. It says submit your case, and you can go ahead and submit your case. We usually feature ones that are submitted first. So it will be up there very soon if you do submit it.
Cool.
So we'll move on to news. Obviously, the big news thing that we talked about a lot this week is all of the Z170 motherboards have launched from every manufacturer, really. So I don't know. We don't really want to talk about this a whole lot. I would say my favorite board is still the Gigabyte G1 gaming board, the highest end one, which you said is what, $500?
Yeah, $499. I think $499. Maybe the most expensive motherboard I've ever seen.
I think higher end X99 Asus ROGs were around maybe that price.
Yeah,
or like the whenever it might have even been like the high end before X99, like the X79s, some of the really high end ones were that much.
Yeah. But definitely no Z97.
I don't believe so. But that board literally has everything.
Yeah, it's an EATX board and it's got every single feature.
If for some odd reason you don't want to get an X99 board, you know.
Yeah. What's it got? It's got 4 full-speed PCI Express lanes because it has a PLX chip.
Yeah.
So that should get you at least 8 time on all slots, if not 16.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I didn't look at the full specs for it. Yeah. I kind of looked at the price and kind of went, well, I guess that's not for me then.
Like, wait, it's awesome. Wait,
no, it was totally awesome. The one I was gonna get.
And then it has everything. It looks amazing. I think it's one of the better looking boards out there.
I do like the MSI, the Platinum.
That MSI Platinum is also awesome. So MSI has an extremely high end. They've kind of merged their OC board and their gaming board together.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool board. We talked about it last week because it was leaked. Yep. That is also an awesome board. I think I might want that is a white PCB though.
Yeah.
That kind of pushes you in that direction.
It's it's the once in a blue moon motherboard, you know?
Yeah. So it's kind of like you want that as well. All of the motherboards that were launched they're all good. Everybody has a full line of boards. They all look good. They all have new designs. Again, the biggest thing with all of this is that because there's so much competition now, you really have to innovate. You really have to build something that people want.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing now. And we're seeing so many awesome boards come out.
We're calling it Platinum. It's the Titanium.
Titanium.
It was sold out and now it's not.
How much is that one?
$299.
That's not bad.
That might be the ticket right there.
I don't. It doesn't have the full PCI Express lanes and all that stuff, you know.
No.
It doesn't have the killer networking either, I don't think. Or it might.
It's got to have something. It's got to have at least what MSI's, the board you just reviewed, has.
Yeah, I would think. But the Gigabyte has the... It has...
The dual
killer double shot X3 Pro. So you have dual killer E2400 LAN chips plus the killer 1535 Wi-Fi, which is 802.11ac plus Bluetooth 4.1.
Yeah.
All together. And it has the application where if you're connected, it's going to find out what your fastest connection is, and it's going to pick that to run everything, which is actually really cool.
And packet priority as well.
Yeah, so it has all that obviously built in.
The Titanium only has the single...
Yeah, so again, the G1 gaming is really built for gaming. It is
the most hardcore gaming.
And I can't see on the picture here. I mean, if I blow it up, it looks like at least 18 phase power design. It looks higher than that, though. I mean, I don't want to count it right now. Maybe 20 phase.
Yeah, which power is going to be way better than the Titanium.
Yeah, so you have to look at all the stuff that they put in. There's a lot of stuff that I haven't even gone into detail on this board either. Just, you know, it does have that Creative Core 3D sound chip. It's the let me look. It's the Creative Sound Blaster ZXRI.
Their latest chip.
Yeah, it's Core 3D, really high end, really really high end audio as well. So basically they put every high end thing on a board more or less, and you can do it. I believe it has 4 SATA Express ports as well.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. 2 or 3 M.2s as well.
2 M.2s.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot on this board. I mean,
What is the power? The power is a really big deal because that can change your overclocking, especially when you're overclocking your CPU and your video cards.
And it looks like
your RAM.
It looks like there's dual USB 3.0. I don't know what the rear I/O on this is, looks like. So I don't know what you get as far as actual USB 3.1 ports on the back. I know it definitely has USB 3.1.
Yeah. One type C.
One type C, and then
yeah,
probably there's at least one type A.
One 3.1 port. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like there's DIP switches on the for the PCI Express slot. So if you're overclocking those, you can turn them off. That's what it looks like.
Switch the ones off you don't need.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool stuff on this. It looks amazing. It's my pick so far. Because we haven't seen the highest end ROG board yet. We've only seen the Hero. Yeah. So that board is not out yet. We'll probably see.
We also haven't seen the overclock board from Gigabyte. Well, we've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, we haven't seen that as well. Yeah. So a lot of really cool stuff. If you're looking to upgrade to Skylake, now is the time to get an idea. And we're going to have a lot of the higher end boards still come out. And a lot of the small, like the mini ITX, the ROG
ITX. Yeah. Oh, I thought about that too.
And there's a lot of stuff that isn't out just yet. When these launches come out, a lot of times not all of the boards are available. They're still being worked on and all of that kind of stuff. We saw that with Z97 and Z87. So if you don't see a board you like just yet, there's more coming out.
Yeah.
So definitely stay tuned for all of that. We'll move on from Skylake and Z170 to graphics. And this is actually a pretty cool story. So in the past with AMD graphics cards is that you were able to flash them to a higher card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the lower end cards are based on the same board design and they're based on the same chip, really.
Yeah. Or even to the newer model, even.
Yeah. So, a new software is kind of making its rounds called CU Info. And what this does is it shows you the number of disabled compute units on your graphics card. And this will work with Hawaii-based cards, Tonga-based cards, and the new Fury-based cards. So, you actually have the possibility to flash a R9 Fury to a R9 Fury X.
Nice.
But there's a couple ways where this won't work, and the biggest thing is the way that AMD takes her compute units or disables her compute units is one way is the way that we all hope that our card is just a soft mod, which it's in the firmware that they're turned off, right?
Yeah.
But they also laser them off. Like, they actually laser them off.
Yeah.
So if your compute units are lasered off, there's no way you can do this. If they're not, this software will actually show you that you can enable different compute units, and then the software generates a ROM or firmware that you can flash your card with and enable your compute units. Now, there's one thing you have to think about is that, so the Fury XT is the highest end chip, and then the Fury Pro, and a lot of times the Fury Pro is based off of defective Fury XT.
Yeah.
Because the yields aren't there, so
usable for the lower end card.
Yeah, so while you may have the compute units, that they may be damaged and everything like that. But people have successfully done this. So this
What happens if you've got broken compute units and you flash it?
Good question. I don't know. I just
it won't detect it and it won't give you the ROM.
Yeah, it probably won't detect those if they're messed up. But this is a really cool thing. Again, it will work with all of the 390s. It will work with all of the 280s or 380s, sorry. I'm thinking 285 because
for that matter, it should possibly work with the 280s, right?
Yeah. 280s. Yeah, I mean, this should work with pretty much, but I think the ROMs on this are built just for the newer cards.
Oh.
So 380, 390, and Fury.
Okay.
But it's actually cool that you can do this. Obviously, we suggest that you do this at your own risk because you can brick your card with flashing it and all of that. But if you want to try it out, go ahead. And hopefully you get some more performance out of your card if it's possible.
And also know that don't go out buying Fury Pro deciding that you're going to flash it to a Fury X because it might not be possible.
Yeah. You'd never know. There's no way of telling.
Yeah.
Besides getting the software. So you can't go out and buy a card. And then if they lasered off the compute units, then
yeah.
you can't do it anyways.
I guess you could go to a big box store, possibly buy one, and then return it if it doesn't work.
That's true. But as soon as you flash your card, I believe that kills your...
Well, running the software to detect, though, before you flash...
Yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you just kind of have to figure it out if that's something you want to do.
There's ways to use this.
Yeah, so pretty cool software. Great to see people develop stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to one of the cool announcements that came out of Gamescom was that Cherry announced their MX Silent keyboard switches. So,
yeah,
which is kind of weird. I like the sound.
Clack?
Yeah, the clack.
Clackety clack.
The clack of the keyboard. I like that.
Yeah.
But maybe some people don't.
No, they totally have it right, though. Like, if you are up late and you have other people in your house trying to sleep, mechanical keyboards can be infuriating for that.
So they have developed their MX Silent keyboard switch. So it'd be cool to see that in different keyboards. Just like their MX RGB, Corsair is the exclusive launch partner, so they have an exclusive contract for 6 months. So the only MX Silent boards you'll see will be from Corsair in the first 6 months.
And they will be on blacks and reds, I believe. Reds and black switches.
Yeah, red and black switches.
So no blues yet.
I love blues.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, blues, I think, are the best switches, but they are so loud.
I think I like blues because they're great for... Because, like, obviously we do a lot of typing, writing reviews and news and all that, but we also like to play games. So I think they're, like, the best in between, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, the bounce back is amazing for typing, obviously. Yeah.
I am using the Cougar 600K that has the blues.
Okay.
So that's my go-to keyboard.
And I'm on the not-to-be-mentioned Razer Black Widow Alta.
But yes, so it's really cool to see again another great key switch coming from Cherry. And again, it's awesome that Corsair is, like, again, this blows my mind. Like, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, Corsair only made memory. Right?
Yeah.
Now, and it's just like now they know how to get, like, they are the exclusive. They got the exclusive for this. They know this is going to bring them more sales and all of that. And they're going to be the only company that you can get this for, just like they did with the MX RGBs.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. So it's really cool.
These actually have the RGB in them too still, right?
Don't know.
I thought so. I
didn't actually look at – because Corsair did launch a board at Gamescom. I didn't see what it was or if it's in there, but –
yep, it's just, they'll still have the colors, and they're silent. I'm curious to see what design. I'd be curious to see. They probably won't ever show, but what makes them silent?
Yeah, they probably won't show them.
No.
Yeah. So, also at Gamescom, we saw some new memory, and the reason we're covering this is because we never see this with memory. Crucial showcased their Ballistic Sport LT. It's DDR4 memory, but it's all white. Not only is the heat spreader white, is the PCB is white.
It's cool.
So this would match up perfectly with that MSI board.
This stuff it's got digital tactical camo pattern on it that extends onto the traces on the PCB.
I didn't notice that. That is actually really cool. It's just, you don't often see stuff like this, especially when it comes to memory. You see cool designs on the heat spreaders, and you know, we went from green to black PCBs a lot.
Thank goodness.
And now we have this white PCB with a white heat spreader. If you have any motherboard that is remotely white at all, doesn't even have to be a white PCB motherboard.
No.
Like, it has any white accents on it at all. This memory is going to look awesome on it.
Yeah. You know, my only reservation about it is that it's the Sport.
Yes. I think they're going to bring this to their higher end. It would make sense. I think this might be just a test of it.
Yeah, to see how well it's picked up. White PCB is expensive. That's why we don't see it.
Yes. It's a lot more expensive to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool to see that from Crucial.
What's the... We don't have a price difference, do we?
No.
Okay. It probably won't be substantial. It'll just probably cover the cost of it.
Yeah, so it's not going to be much more expensive. But yeah, definitely I'm going to try to get some of these into review.
Yeah, please do. And then sell them to me.
And then give them to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll definitely see that. These will be available in September, and 16 to 64 gig.
Cool. So 16 gig modules then? Is it four channel or is it?
No, it's 4 gig, 8 gig densities.
Okay, so not 16 gig densities.
Yeah. So yeah. And what else we have? We have memory. We have
some really fast memory.
Some awesome overclocking. So G-Skills DDR4 achieved a memory world record at 4,795.8 megahertz.
Yeah. Which is an interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to see a lot of these come out because now with the memory, it's dual channel, not quad channel.
Mm-hmm.
With DDR4. So with dual channel, you are now able to you don't have to get all the memory up to this. You know, you only have two now.
Yeah, fewer DIMMs.
Yeah.
And it's a less complicated pattern on the board to send the power through to. Yeah, we'll see a lot of fast clocks.
Yeah, so you're going to have all of that, which is really cool. And one thing that G-Scale pointed out is if you look at the Skylake launch overclocking, they hold the top rank as far as memory on almost all of the world records that were set for Skylake launch.
17.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So it looks like the G-Skill has really made some awesome memory.
It's also interesting to see that it's all the Asus Maximus 8 Extreme except for two.
Yeah, and we
have those are genes, and we haven't even seen the board.
We haven't seen the board yet, which is quite interesting.
They don't have any left over because they gave them all the overclockers.
Hold on, I think I have. Hold on, let me look because I'm pretty sure. Hold on, I will check my email. And
press release, come on.
Yeah, it's here, but I can't find it.
Oh, Bob, use the search function.
I am.
I know computering is hard, but
I know using Gmail is quite hard. hold on, let me see if I can just find it.
But anyways, this is incredibly fast at almost 4,800 megahertz.
Yeah,
like that's staggeringly fast, really. That's why I think.
Oh, here it is. So
Z170 is the way to go. Yes. Because you have to have DDR4.
They don't show the board.
They just talk about it.
No, they only show the Maximus 8 Hero, Maximus 8 Ranger, Maximus 8 Gene, and that's it. So the Extreme was not shown.
Holding back on us.
Yeah, so the Hero is usually the entry-level ROG board.
Right.
So this Extreme board has to be... that's going to be around the probably $400, $500 price range, I assume.
Well, now that Gigabyte has come out there and put it at $500, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, so this is going to be the competition to that board. Not out yet. But apparently it's usable. All of these
it's built and it's very well built.
Yes, all of these overclocks are using that board, which is kind of cool.
It's probably just their last production or something.
Yeah, so definitely cool to see that overclock. Very high overclock as well.
Yeah.
And we have some NVIDIA news. NVIDIA released their Q2 revenue or financial results. And analysts had expected the revenue to decline by 8%, but instead it increased by 4.5%, which is awesome.
Suck it, analysts.
Yeah, so which is kind of funny about this because when AMD released their results, they blamed bad PC market. The PC market is not doing well. Well, if the PC market's doing horrible, then why does NVIDIA have this increase? Most of their revenue increase is actually because of their sales of GeForce graphics cards, especially the GTX 900 series.
Once AMD released the Fury, it was just like, okay, buy NVIDIA still.
Yeah, so NVIDIA's doing great. Great to see that, obviously, from NVIDIA. There's not really much we can say about that.
It's tough to not have competition, but at least we have one really, really stable company doing good things.
Yeah, and it's good to see them do well. It's good to see... I mean, the 900 series was just... They did it right.
They're good cards.
Yeah, all around. They've done it right, and I think they'll continue that success. So, great to see that.
And that means more money into R&D and better cards for us.
Yes, for sure. And then our last news story of the day here. I thought this was amazing. Really, I don't know if you got to see this yet.
I did. I watched the video as well.
So a group of Minecraft people, I guess you want to call them, are
builders.
We've seen Minecraft has been out. I don't even know how long it's even been out. It's been out a long time. But we've seen some amazing worlds being built in Minecraft. An underwater world is just something that I haven't really seen that much of.
Yeah,
and these gamers or users or builders, whatever you want to call them, built this amazing underwater, like deep sea world,
like a habitat, an underwater habitat,
and it is just insane. Like it is crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to make the connection, but I can't help but connect it to the Star Wars Episode One, Naboo water underworld. You know,
yeah, it's so insane in crazy detail. We have a video in the post. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Like, it's just one of the...
The time and detail and effort into this.
Yeah, it's just like, I could never do this. I don't think I have the time to really do it. But it's really cool to see stuff like this, and it's really great to see that people are... You know, just really into the game that much that they're going to take the time to build something like that.
And it's like art, but like it's an art that is, it's a soft art, I guess, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's digital still, so like you have the inspiration to do it, but to choose it to do it in that medium is really cool because it's not most easily presented.
And the thing is, what's cool is like Minecraft. We've seen this, like we've seen people build these amazing, super, super amazing levels and all of that. And what's cool about this is that you can go to Planet Minecraft and you can download this and you can,
go through it yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's one thing that's really cool about Minecraft. So definitely check that out if you're into Minecraft or if you just, maybe you're not into Minecraft and this might get you into it. Very, very cool.
It's really amazing that like Minecraft is still getting, it's in the news still, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not just for the staggering amount of money that they've made from it.
Yeah. So definitely cool to check that out. I would, if I actually had time, I would want to just swim through that just to check it out. That'd be really cool. So, that moves us on to what we have coming up next week. And we've had some reviews that we wanted to get out, but just because of Skylake launch and everything, we didn't get them out. So, next week we will have the ADATA Premier SP610 solid state drive. It's a nice solid state drive. We talked about it last week. I'm not going to go
and the week crazy. Before.
Yeah, and the week before. And then, so, I am going to get this review out this week, this upcoming week. So, definitely stay tuned for that. We also have the Fractal Design Core 1500 case that was also come out this past week, but Skylake kind of killed that.
Yeah.
And then I'll be taking a look at the Noctua NHD15S, which is basically more or less like their NHD15, which is one of the best air coolers out there.
Mm-hmm.
This one, just like we've seen from a lot of companies, this is made to be compatible with your memory. There's only a fan in the center. There's no fans on the sides. And the actual heat sinks have been sort of cut.
Are they wide?
What?
Is it wider? Or is that just the way it's cut?
What makes it appear wider? What are you looking at?
The pictures of it. It just looks really, really wide.
The cooler?
Yeah, the fins.
The NHD15 is a big cooler.
I know. But like this looks really, really wide. I'm just saying.
No, I don't think it's wider. It's based on the NHD15.
Okay.
It just the fins at the bottom have been cut so your memory can fit and all that kind of stuff.
I see that.
So it should be really good. It should, you know, compatibility should not be an issue with this. Should be overall really good card. It might have some other stuff next week if we get some other stuff done. Like I said, the past 2 weeks have been kind of crazy with Skylake. So, but we'll have some good reviews coming up and maybe some. I've been working on some Windows 10 articles as well. So we'll have those coming up too.
So I haven't seen a lot of little Windows 10 things. Yes. Tips and tricks.
Are you on Windows 10 yet?
No. No, I'm not.
You're just slacking.
I'm not now though. I was slacking, but like now that I've got all these board changes and system upgrades and stuff, I'm like, I don't want to do that now.
So when you build Skylake, are you going to do Windows 10?
Probably do Windows 10.
Okay, good.
And then I'll have like the board and CPU combination that don't work with Windows 10 yet. That'll be fun.
That'd be funny. But so yeah, at the end,
and then Bobby will just tell me that I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I'll be like, you're fired. So at the end of each podcast, we talk about something cool we did this week. I don't know if you did anything cool. Did you?
What did I do? Well, I'm entirely caught up on Halt and Catch Fire now.
So you watched the first season and you realized it was better than the second season.
The second season got good too, though. It's done.
I haven't watched the entire thing. I'm only on the third episode. I haven't been watching a lot of that. I've been watching mafia documentaries.
Bob's weird, if you guys didn't know that.
No, they're really good. There's this you can watch it on Amazon, I believe. It's called Making of the Mob, or it's either Inside the Mob or Making of the Mob. I think it's called Making of the Mob.
Okay.
It's actually really good. It's like an eight episode thing. It's about the New York mob. It's really good, and it really shows how they build it like a business, which is actually pretty cool.
I think I've seen a commercial for that.
Yeah, so it's really cool to show, and the amount of power that they had back then is just crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what I watched all this past week.
Nice.
And then I really haven't done anything.
I've been not
sleeping and getting all the Skylake stuff done, so we would have it for launch day, which was fun. Launches are always they're a lot of work, but they're a lot of fun too. So
yeah.
And it's cool to get the new stuff before it's out, and I like that about
it. To actually have it when you can't even get it.
Yes. And it's cool to see to see firsthand the new things that are on the boards. You know, when I first saw that, I think I sent you a message about it. When I first got the board, the ASUS board, and I saw that AIO header, I was like,
the dedicated header.
Because like it was just really cool to see there.
It's just like it's it's clever and it's sort of like obvious at the same time.
Yeah, but it's just like you know, getting stuff like that and seeing it firsthand before you read it in a review or something like that. It's actually really cool to see, and to be able to test the stuff is just a lot of fun for me. So I'm glad I was able to do that, and of course get the reviews out to everybody. But I guess that's it for this week. Very long week. I'm probably gonna sleep all weekend, I feel. So
no, you won't.
Probably won't, but I'll sleep a good amount. But that rounds it up. As always, you can go on the site where we have our show notes for this episode and all of our episodes. So everything we talked about, we will have links on and all of that. So if you're wondering what we're talking about, you can click the link and check it out. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just type in Think Computers, all one word, and we should be the first thing that shows up. And until next week, catch you everybody later.